Elizabeth and Zacharias, quite a simple story, really. And then you start to delve in it and realize you could probably do weeks on weeks on what's in there. So I had to be quite selective. But I thought it was interesting. For us today, we start our journey to Advent. But for Zachariah, Elizabeth, and the whole nation of Israel, we're starting at a point which is very much in the wilderness. A wilderness of waiting and wondering of if who and what they wait for will ever come. Israel as a nation has been waiting for 700 years for their freedom fighter to come and rescue them. They've been in a place of occupation, under the cosh of foreign rulers, the Persians, who gave way to the Greeks, and now the Roman Empire. And as far as we know, God has been silent for the last 400 years. No judges, no prophets, or military rulers recorded over this time. The wilderness, it's a special place. A place to journey through. A painful place. A place of trial, refining fire. A place of suffering. But a place of growth. And a place where both John the Baptist and Jesus spent time. Moses led the people of Israel through the wilderness, out of captivity, on a journey to the promised land. And from time to time we see in the Bible, and from the time of Abraham and Sarah, childlessness has been a common wilderness shared by Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Rachel, the wife of Jacob, which, remember, in their culture was actually a shameful thing and very personally painful, as it is for ourselves. But it was considered that God had not shown you favor. And so here we are with Zachariah and Elizabeth. So let's read their story together, which starts at a time when they're both getting on in years. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth, also a descendant of Aaron, both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, going to the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Now Zechariah being chosen to go into the Holy of Holies was likely to have been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, a great honor to go into the presence of God himself. Then we're told, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son. You're to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Have you noticed in the Bible very often when an angel appears, they will say, "Do not be afraid." So I doubt that these messengers of God are unassuming or fluffy, sweet-looking beings. They're from the angel army of God, supernatural warriors, likely to be of great stature and presence. And this was no ordinary angel, but Gabriel himself. He'd fit very well into a Carlsberg advert. If Carlsberg made angels, then this would be that angel. No wonder Zechariah was gripped with fear. But what great news! A son. At last his prayer had been heard. And more than this, not just a boy to love and give the family name a line to continue through, but a Holy Spirit-filled boy that would fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Let's see where the story takes us now. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well on in years. Cheeky. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I have been sent to speak to you and tell you of this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. So here we have Zechariah, gripped with fear one minute, questioning the angel Gabriel the next. And the angel has to remind Zechariah where he comes from, the fact that he stands before God. And he's given this message to Zechariah. There's no place for doubt, but Zechariah does exactly that. He's prayed for this all his life, probably all his married life. And when the answer to the prayer comes, he's got this angel stood before him. He doubts it can be true. So as a punishment, he's struck dumb. Imagine being the worshippers outside. As it goes on to say, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he'd seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them. But remained unable to speak. When his time of service was complete, he returned home. So let's just imagine what might have happened as Zechariah returned home to Elizabeth. Could you click on that to make it work? It should have... No, that just means it's the wrong version that's we brought over. Basically, it's a skit, and it's where Zechariah arrives home, and he's there with his cards telling Elizabeth of what might happen. And, of course, she doesn't believe it either, but then it starts to dawn on her, and she starts to get quite excited that at last the Lord has heard her. And then in the Bible, the next thing we hear is Elizabeth fell pregnant, just as the angel said, and Zechariah remained silent throughout. Then a special visitor comes to stay. And we're told at this moment that when Mary, her cousin, comes in and she hears Mary's voice, that her unborn child are filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just see what that bit in the Bible. Are you able to move that on for me, Rosemary? You might have to open your Bibles because it looks No, we'll just move on. It's fine. So, when Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting, as I've just said, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, as she's filled with the Holy Spirit, she speaks out a word of wisdom. She says, in a loud voice, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So there we see what Angel Gabriel has said happened. The baby in her womb was filled with the Holy Spirit before he was even born. And then moving on, we see that John's birth was a great celebration for all who knew them. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy and shared their joy. On the eighth day came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one amongst your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child, not accepting what the mother wanted to call the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue set free, and he began to speak and praise God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is the child going to be? For the Lord's hand was upon it." So now all it takes to spread a good rumor is naming your child against tradition in those days. But also people will have seen that this was the point where by naming his son, Zechariah could speak. Struck dumb in God's presence, and now his tongue released, of course, people could see this boy was a gift from God. The meaning of the name John is God is gracious, or God has shown favor, which is, by the way, the same meaning for Jane, because Jane is the female root of John. And indeed, I too came at the end of a very painful wilderness time for my mum and dad. But I'm not sure mum's always felt that blessed by my presence, but that's another story. And it's one that Jesus has redeemed, I'm glad to say. So Zechariah was now overjoyed and filled with the Spirit, and he prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And we're told the the child grew, became strong in spirit, lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly to Israel. So the wilderness is a theme for this family's journey with God, but it's a place where communion with God can be strengthened. Waiting is hard. Feeling your prayer has not been heard, getting the answer you didn't want is oh so hard. But here we have two people who spent their years praying for a son and probably had given up hope. But they continued to abide in God, to serve him and keep his laws. They didn't give up, not with God. So no matter where you are right now, whether you're by green pastures, whether you're in the valley of the shadow of death, or maybe you are in the wilderness, the dry place, take heart, your prayers have been heard. Your God has not abandoned you. Wait on him. Yield all that you are to him, your hopes, dreams, and future. Jesus is coming. The good news is life-changing and renewing. So we're to keep on keeping on. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, from deep inside our hearts, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We need much more of your active power and presence in our lives. Help us to be open to receive from you all the tremendous benefits of what you suffered, died and rose again to provide us with. We trust you. We trust you to show us what we need to know, when we need to know it. Let your power begin to flow and overflow in us. Walk with us through the wilderness. Lead us by green pastures. And through the valley of the shadow of death. For with you we will fear no evil. Thank you, Lord. Amen.